Welcome to Tabernacle Presbyterian Church in Indianapolis, Indiana. Today, Pastor Oscar Clavel delivers the message entitled, We're All in This Together.
Our first reading comes from the book of Ephesians chapter 4, verses 1 through 16. Hear now God's word. I, therefore, the prisoner in the Lord, beg you to lead a life worthy of the calling to which you have been called, with all humility and gentleness, with patience, bearing with one another in love, making every effort to maintain the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. There is one body and one Spirit, just as you are called to the one hope of your calling, one Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God and Father of all, who is above all and through all and in all. But each of us was given grace according to the measure of Christ's gift. Therefore, it is said, when he ascended on high, he made captivity itself a captive. He gave gifts to his people. When it says he ascended, what does it mean but that he also descended into the lower parts of the earth? He who descended is the same one who ascended far above all the heavens so that he might fill all things. The gifts he gave were some would be apostles, some prophets, some evangelists, some pastors and teachers, to equip the saints for the work of ministry, for building up the body of Christ, until all of us come to the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God, to maturity, to the measure of the full stature of Christ. We must no longer be children tossed to and fro and blown about by every wind of doctrine, by people's trickery, by their craftiness and deceitful scheming. But speaking the truth in love, we must grow up in every way into him who is the head, into Christ, from whom the whole body, joined and knit together by every ligament with which it is equipped, as each part is working properly, promotes the body's growth in building itself up in love. The word of the Lord.
Our second reading comes from the book of Colossians, beginning at chapter 3, verses 12 to 14. Let us listen to God's word. It says, as God's chosen ones, holy and beloved, clothe yourselves with compassion, kindness, humility, meekness, and patience, and bear with one another. And if anyone has a complaint against another, forgive each other, just as the Lord has forgiven you, so you also must forgive. Above all, clothe yourselves with love, which is the bond which binds everything together in perfect harmony. This is the word of our Lord. And let us pray. Gracious God, we give you thanks for this day provided to us. We thank you, Lord, how you love us, and God, how you show us that love through this great service already with all the youth and the children being a part of it. God, reflective of what your kingdom will look like and what it already is, and Lord, that we just need to continue to live into. Father, we pray that the words of my mouth and the meditations of our hearts may be pleasing unto you. In Christ's name we pray, amen. You know, one of the things that I enjoy the most about Youth Sunday is the video that we watch. And I'm so glad that many of you clapped, because that's what's going to be happening at TapFest this year. We're going to do trust falls, we're going to do hang upside down. We're going to really have a fun time with you guys. So, you know, get that flexibility going. But I love it because there's something unique. You know, I've been here now about 7 years, and it's unique to see kids grow before your eyes. And I'm sure if those of you that have been here 20, 30, 40, 50 years, it probably just feels amazing to see a little kid all of a sudden go off to college. And so in many ways, these videos remind me of just the strength and the joy that it is to grow up in a church with the family. You know, one of the things that Jennifer Wirt, our children's director, will often say is that behind all of these outings, behind all of these trips, behind all of these lock-ins, there's like a flip side to it, and that is that there are adults who supervise these kids. I mean, these kids just don't behave well on their own. Well, maybe some do. But it's not necessarily about behaving well. But there is this interesting thing that happens when adults and youth are engaged with one another. Similar to what we might call a laboratory setting, where we're testing out this ancient theory. It's a theory that's been for generations and centuries in the church. And that is that young adults or young students and adults can come together, can learn, can grow in the gospel. You see, that's one of the interesting things about our faith, is that no one's really a master over anybody. We're all kind of on the same equal level playing field, but we have different roles. One of the images that sticks out the most to me about what I'm talking about comes from Colombia, and it was never captured on camera, and I'm actually glad that it wasn't, because you know how they say a picture is worth 1,000 words? Well, this one, even if the picture would have been taken, the right word wouldn't have been said. So what was going on? It was late. We had just finished some ministry out in the soccer fields, like Ian talked about, and we were going to go overlook the city of Medellin. And as we got out of the bus, our guide told us that we were not to make a lot of noise and definitely not to be flashing your phones. Instead, we were supposed to walk a very steep incline to overlook the city. And interesting enough, while we were all walking up this very, very steep incline, I noticed that one of our adults was just not having an easy time doing it. And so some of the youth kind of came together, and there's like, you should go and talk to that person and ask for assistance. And so when they did, they went to him, and they said, can we help you up? And he said, no, I can do this on my own. It's just going to take me a little bit longer to climb the hill. The youth that were there on that trip, they then retreated to their friends, and their friends were kind of goading them. They were like, why weren't you being forceful? Obviously, they need the help climbing up the hill. But the kids who had heard the message said something very different. They said, wow, that guy never gives up. Now, I'm not really sure what all happened at that moment. And sometimes some things are indescribable. And that's what this moment was. It was an indescribable moment. But it was something very unique. It was a moment to be reminded that when our adults and our youth engage one another, practice their gifts, share their wisdom, we see the church of Jesus Christ in abundance. And so how do we get to that place where we see this abundance, where we see this engagement taking place between youth and adults? You know, our scripture lesson this morning has as really two themes. One of them is the theme of calling, and the other is the theme of unity. And Paul begins by saying that there is this call that is universal for all Christians. And he says, don't focus right now on your individual calling. You know, am I supposed to be a doctor? Am I supposed to be a nurse? Am I supposed to be a lawyer? Am I supposed to be whatever it is, you know, working in finances or whatever it might be? Paul says, don't focus on that. He says, in fact, he says, there actually is a calling that supersedes those things. And so Paul, writing from prison, he says to them, the calling that is on your life is to be united. To be united. And he describes this very interestingly. So what he says is that there is a way that we are supposed to live together that is beyond making rules. And in fact, it's into areas of life where rules can't even be framed. So what am I talking about here? So Paul says the way that we become united is we focus on virtues such as humbleness, gentleness, patience, and bearing with one another. And if you think about it, these are not things that we can really come up with rules. I mean, you know, I think of it in this way. There's that one person that in order to practice patience, you almost kind of just need to be really direct with them and say, you need to calm down. And then there's other people where you gotta say, sweetie, you're being really excitable right now. Can we just maybe bring it down a notch? You know, there's no rule of how we practice these traits together. We just know we need to practice them. But what Paul says is that these traits are binding us together. They're reciprocal. This is the way that relationship, this is the way that trust is built in the body of Christ. And so Paul says that these behaviors are ultimately what bring us unity. Now, I'll have to admit with you, when I think about the theme of unity, I kind of scratch my head a little bit. Because normally, throughout my whole life growing up in a church, the message that I have heard about what it means to be a Christian, what it means to follow the gospel, is that I have to believe first and foremost that my sins are forgiven. And that's it. As if that's the only thing that's going to make me a Christian. And yet, I wonder, and I really wonder, if Paul would say, forgiveness of sins, that doctrine, that belief, may actually just be like baby food for those who are newborn in the faith. So what we're talking about here, talking about steak, it's talking about potatoes. No longer mushy stuff. And what Paul says is the steak, the entree, is unity. So how does he describe this? Paul says that we are to guard our unity because, first of all, it's given to us as a gift. And it's only in understanding unity that I think then we begin to unravel what it means to and be engaged as adults and as youth. You know, in the Gospels, this word unity is not generic in the sense that we use it. You know, it's easy for me to say that I am united with people who are like-minded, right? It's easy for me to say that I'm united with people who look like me. But that's not the unity that God has for us. In fact, I think what Paul writes here is very profound. He says, unity is actually very hard. It's very difficult because it's not being with people who think the same. It's not being with people who actually even look the same as you. But in fact, it may be people who come from a very different background than you come from. Now, we can testify that these three traits, somebody that thinks different, somebody that looks different, somebody that comes from a different background, those things, to talk to someone and find some sense of unity is hard. It's difficult. And so what does Paul say? He says, but there is a way where these differences can now be united under the banner of one person, Jesus Christ. And so how do I think about this as it relates to youth and adults? I think of it that, you know, in life, there are people who just don't fit the mold. And, well, maybe it's not hard to believe, but I was a youth at one time as well. Sounds silly saying that now. But, you know, growing up in youth group could be a very difficult place for kids who didn't fit in with everybody else. And sometimes I remember in youth group, the way that my kids were, my peers, my friends, we acted just like we did at school. Somebody had a weird haircut, somebody didn't wear the nicest clothes. We'd separate ourselves from one another. And what it ended up taking was it took good leaders in our youth group to model a different behavior. And so I encourage that to our youth directors. Model the behavior where kids from all different backgrounds, thoughts, can find acceptance. Because the second part now falls to us, those of us who are adults. One of the things that we need to model for youth, especially as they make their way through their maturation process, is that in this community, we know your story. You're accepted, you're loved, you're prayed for, you're counseled, and you can always come back here, and this can always be home to you. And in fact, I tell you that today. This place will always be home to all of you here. Even if you come back with pink hair, this place will still be home to you. Because that's what we're talking about, unity. We need to get past the moments in our lives where we start to break ourselves apart because we don't think the same, we don't look the same. We need to realize that there's something much more powerful, significant, than the things that separate us. As we close our service this morning, I'm reminded of what Paul writes when he talks about the gifts that the church is given. I have this great story for you. There's an age, I don't know when it is, but kids have a hard time putting on clothes. And you'll notice it because all of a sudden a kid will put a shirt on, and rather than putting it through the big hole where the head's supposed to go, they put it in the armhole. And so what'll happen is, I've noticed my friends with children, their kids will run out and they'll be like, "Mom, I can't put my shirt on." And I'm like, "Yeah, of course, because like it's the wrong hole." Or my shoes don't fit, and it's like, "Yeah, because it's the wrong shoe." There's this stage of life where kids are learning how to put on clothes. And sometimes they don't even put it on the right way. I mean, it's backwards. Colossians tells us, clothe yourselves with the traits of Christ. You see, as adults, we need to be reminded in the same way that the youth remind us. Youth are learning how to put on their clothes. We're guiding them to learn how to put on the clothes of Christ. But I also want to challenge you as adults. You may not have the clothes on the right way. You may be so used to wearing the shirt backwards that you forget that it wasn't supposed to be that way. Some of us walk around as adults with our head through the armhole. And we're trying to make the character of Christ fit into our lives, but it just won't fit. And we're walking around with these like two holes on the side of our head. And we think we're normal. It may be in certain parts of this country. But this is a place where I think reflecting on youth and reflecting on adulthood is great. It's all level playing field. We're all learning how to clothe ourselves in Christ. And this is where youth really help us to do that. And so my last point here is this. One of the things that John and I have been preaching about lately is this concept of risk. I've noticed in last week, as I was reading John's sermon, the week before and this past week, been talking about risk, about being vulnerable with one another. One of the things that I encourage youth and I encourage adults is just show an interest in one another. I mean, that's really what it comes down to. I mean, as a youth, it's easy to say, there's Mr. So-and-so and Mrs. So-and-so who, and I've heard it from you guys. Who was that? They just like, they're like, he knows my name. I'm like, well, of course, because they've been here like 40 years. They probably saw you as a little kid. One of the things is just showing interest in one another. When people show interest in you, respond. And those that don't show interest in you, introduce yourselves. And that goes for both of us. We need to just take risks with one another, get to know one another, know our youth one another. Friends, I believe that we are in a great church. We're in a great time in our congregation. And I believe that we are moving by the grace of God to just a deeper integration with our youth and our adults. I really believe that. And I'm excited about how that's going to start to take place. And so I hope we're ready for that, because it's going to be amazing. Let's pray. Gracious God, we give you thanks for all the ways that you bless our lives. Lord, as we reflect on our own childhood, as we reflect on our own lives, we're reminded, Lord, of all the trials that youth bring, are those years of our lives. And Lord, we pray for our young people. We pray for our college students, our teenagers, our young children, We ask God for them to be kept safe, protected under the cover of grace. But Lord, also we pray for them to be sent out by the power of your Spirit into the places where they are called to go into. Lord, remind us that we are all called together into this ministry. And Lord, that we're all united together under Jesus Christ. Help us to be, if we might dare say, God, just a little bit more gracious with one another.